So Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, reading from verse 27 down to 32. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." We give thanks to God for that reading from his word, and you'll find it helpful to have your Bible close to you in this reflection. Quick picture. I don't know whether that gets your juices going. Can you just see the health of that picture? There were other pictures I could have put up, but they weren't as healthy, so... This last week, the end of last week into the middle of this week, I've been away for a few days at an academic biblical studies conference. I was in a town, a city called Cordoba in the south of Spain. It's tough, isn't it? I'm not exactly sure why it was decided. This was a meeting of the European Association of Biblical Studies, and I'm not sure exactly why it was decided to meet in Cordoba. I think the local synagogue was celebrating 750th, 800th anniversary or something like that. So I think there was some vague inspiration to meet in the south of Spain. The temperatures were over 40 degrees. They were, you know, easily 42, 43 every afternoon, sometimes going up to 45. So walking out the hotel was, air-conditioned hotel, walking out the hotel was like opening the oven door. You know that feeling when you open the oven door and you have that blast of air? Hot air, hot, dry air. Well, it was tough, but we survived. There's something in common with all these folk I'm going to mention to you now, folk that I met at this conference. At this conference, there were folk, there were 34 countries represented. I met Ibrahim, a Palestinian who lives in Galilee. I met Paul Kruger and his wife, who live in Stellenbosch near Cape Town in South Africa. I met Stefan from Bern in Switzerland, Brigitte from Groningen in the Netherlands. I met Paul from Chester. I met Marianne from St. Andrews. I met Martin from Ohio in the United States. I met Pekka, who actually lives in Cheltenham but is from Finland. I met Linda from Sweden. And there are many others I could mention who I met from a diverse group of backgrounds and countries and situations. There's one thing in common with all of them. I'll tell you what it is. I met them all while eating. Yeah, all of them I met while eating. And I don't know about you, but eating is such a joy. Yeah? Food. Isn't food great? Because we're in Spain, we had, is it paella every day? You know, in the conference hotel, they served the lunch for us all. There was 350 or so at the conference. They served paella. And also loads and loads of fish. I don't know what it was about Cordoba, but loads and loads of fish and lovely food. And it was great to eat all this wonderful food and to have the opportunity to go around big buffet, talk to people in the queue, talk to people while you were trying to work out what the food is that's in front of you, and then find a table. And maybe I sat down with somebody who I had already met, but sure enough, there'd be somebody else to my left and across the table who I hadn't met, and there were more people. And those opportunities, whether it was sitting down for a meal or having coffee and cakes at other times, they were significant times. They always are on these conferences when we meet and we discuss various things. And I thought it would be good for us to reflect about eating with Jesus and meals that Jesus had, and recognizing the significance of those times when Jesus ate meals. And for that reason, we read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. And we have there, of course, the account of this man, Levi. By all accounts, a very wealthy man. He was a tax collector. And yet, when Jesus calls him, we're told he left everything. Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus. And Luke's Gospel in particular records, I think, at least 8 occasions when Jesus eats meals. And there's such a richness in those meals. There's so much we can learn from those experiences of Jesus eating a meal. And it speaks to us about Jesus and us, how Jesus would, as it were, sit down with us and eat a meal. But it also speaks to us about our own lives and the importance for us of eating and drinking with others. And so I'm going to just mention, I think there's 7 here, 7 different things that we learn from meals with Jesus. And the first is this about invitation. Jesus, I believe, invites us all to sit down and eat with him. In a few minutes, we're going to break bread and share the cups together. And we do so at the invitation of Jesus. That opportunity we have to take time to sit and eat. And of course, we only take bread and the cups. And it's so brief, and sometimes we can rush through it and take so little time with it, but really, it is symbolic of a meal. It's symbolic of stopping and taking time to be with Jesus. Jesus invites us to a meal. And yet, in the passage that we read, if you've got it open in front of you, verse 39, then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house. And so the invitation here doesn't seem to be so much Jesus inviting Levi for a meal, but it's Levi saying, Jesus, come and take time to be with me. Come, Jesus, would you hang out with me? Don't rush on to your next thing. Would you hang out with me? If we flick across to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho, was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead, climbed the sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house. I want to come and eat with you. And this extraordinary invitation, what does Jesus want to do? He wants to sit with us around a table and just take time. Hang out with one another. And it's such a simple thing. We might just think, oh yeah, whatever. But it's there again and again in the Gospels, how Jesus took time either inviting people or being invited to sit down and share a meal. But here's the second thing that we note about Jesus and meals, and it's controversy. What could be so controversial about having a meal? And we might think, okay, we know our Bibles quite well. And we know that there were some people who said there were certain foods you couldn't eat. So perhaps if food was being eaten that shouldn't have been eaten, maybe there'd be controversy because of that. But that wasn't it. There's no account of Jesus eating the wrong food or at the wrong time. But what is it in the passage again that we read back in Luke chapter 5? But the Pharisees and teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" If you flick over to chapter 7, verses 33 and 34. This is Jesus speaking, right at the top of the page there. "For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." So when Jesus ate with people, such a common, ordinary, normal practice, people got cross. Not because of, in a sense, where he was eating or what he was eating, but because of who he was eating with. Flick over again to Luke chapter 15. And I guess we'll all know Luke chapter 15 probably really well. And we know it because there are three big parables there. There's the parable of the farmer who loses one sheep, leaves the 99, goes searching for the one. There's the parable of the woman who has 10 coins, loses one, and searches her house until she finds the one lost coin. And then there's the parable of the father with the two sons, the son we know as the prodigal son, who goes into a foreign land, wastes everything, and comes back. But how does it begin? Luke 15. "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering round to hear him, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" I've never actually seen it before. It's funny, isn't it, how you can read something for years and years and years and never see it. What was Jesus actually doing when he told these parables? He was sitting down having a meal with tax collectors and sinners. And when Jesus ate with people, it caused trouble. So while there is this wonderful invitation from Jesus, "Come and eat with me," we need to be aware that Jesus doesn't always invite the people that you and I would invite. Isn't that so? Who was the last person you had for a meal in your house? Good friend? Good person? I'm guessing so, you know. Because we don't tend to invite people to have a meal with us who we're not sure about. And yet Jesus, time and time and time again, he ate with whoever. And the extraordinary thing is, he even ate with the very people who were cross at him for eating with the tax collectors and sinners. He ate with the Pharisees as well. And the generosity in the heart of God, recognizing that Nobody is excluded. And inclusion means time to sit and eat and share together. The third thing we note is it's a place of salvation. Back again in Luke chapter 5, we're flicking backwards and forwards here. Luke chapter 5, verses 31 and 32. When the Pharisees are complaining, Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Because when Jesus sits down to eat a meal, he's bringing salvation. Jesus brings salvation in the act of eating with people. Just think about that for a minute. Jesus brings salvation in the act of sitting down to eat with people. Barriers are broken down. People receive what they need. They know they're loved when Jesus sits and eats with them. They know they're accepted. They know they're forgiven. Salvation is in this simple act. Reconciliation, this simple act of eating together, is there as they sit together. Fourth thing, transformation. Again, back in Luke chapter 7, just over the page. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. Now, one of the Pharisees, these are the complainers. One of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who was touching him, what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." And then if you just nip across to verse 47, top of the next page, "Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And this extraordinary transformation takes place around a meal table. This extraordinary transformation for this woman, she pours out her offering of love to Jesus. And there is transformation around the meal table. Perhaps we never realized how powerful a meal is. And yet this woman's life is transformed in that moment. Next thing, forgiveness. And repeat again, verse 47 of that chapter, "Her many sins have been forgiven. She loved much. Your sins are forgiven." And again, we have the account of Zacchaeus, who invites Jesus into his house and they hang out. They spend time together. Zacchaeus experiences forgiveness. Whatever he'd done before, it's all done and dealt with around a meal table. Shooting on, acceptance. Again, we've already touched on it. Luke 15, verses 1 and 2. Why were the tax collectors and sinners there? Because they experienced acceptance. Here was somebody who accepted them. They were rejected by everybody else, but here, around the meal table, they were accepted. Zacchaeus, again, is somebody who is experiencing acceptance around the meal table. Such a simple thing that we often will ignore and pass over, rush through, and yet in the life of Jesus, it's so important. And the seventh thing is revelation. Jesus reveals who he is around the meal table. And if we flick over to the last chapter in Luke 24. And I'm sure we all know the account on that first day. There were two traveling on the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And they were joined by Jesus. They didn't recognize Jesus. And yet Jesus walked with them and talked with them and asked them, "What are you talking about? Have you not heard? This one from Nazareth we thought was the prophet of God, the Messiah, but he was crucified." And Jesus talks with them on the journey. And yet all the time, for some reason, they don't recognize him. Verse 30 of chapter 24. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks and broke it and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. There is this extraordinary revelation, Jesus revealing himself at a meal table. And I don't think it's a coincidence. Where was Jesus going to reveal himself? But around a meal table. This is a very simple, quite deliberately, a very simple reflection on the significance of eating together, of taking the opportunity to invite others into our homes. It might be just for coffee, for biscuits, might be for a meal, but to encourage each one of us to say, invite others into your home if you can. Spend time with one another, eating and drinking, sharing our lives, because just in that act, there may be controversy because of who you invite, but there will be transformation and reconciliation. There'll be forgiveness and acceptance. And it is in the eating together that wonderfully and mysteriously Jesus is revealed to us. And in just a moment, we're going to share bread and the cups together, because this is our meal that we share with Jesus. And it's so simple and it's so ordinary and so easily we can pass over it. But it is our opportunity at the invitation of Jesus to eat and to drink with him. We're going to pause and just be quiet together for a moment. The application for us of the reflection this morning is very practical. It is about eating and drinking. We may not regard these things as very spiritual, but for Jesus, they were important. So they can be important for us too. We thank God for every opportunity we have to eat, particularly when we eat with others. We thank God that in the ordinariness of eating and drinking with others, we encounter the risen Christ. Let each one determine that we will take the opportunity we can to eat and to drink with others.